You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from Re-Captain America, where we fight crime, Nazis, and fellow superheroes, such as Byron Man, who doesn't really do anything, but his first name is Byron. We're sitting here in the halls of Augustus, and we're bringing you Interdimensional Recess, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show, welcome to the podcast. It's Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. If you couldn't hear that cold open, it's because you're watching on YouTube. And that's fine. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're watching on YouTube. Hi everybody, my name's Travis.
Hey everybody, I'm Brandon. And I'm really thankful that you, if you're on YouTube, you couldn't hear. Because you would have been like, what are you even talking about? What are you even talking about, Brandon?
It was an unorthodox cold open. Not that they're ever very, you know, on topic. I mean, they tend to be.
Because
I don't know.
Because I said Re-Captain America. So it's like a recap.
Oh, like a recap.
Yeah.
You're so smart and clever.
But then it got to Byron Man. Like, I know a guy at work. His name is Byron. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, Byron. What's up, man? And then at Halls of Augustus, I was thinking of Augustus Gloop. From Willy Wonka.
Save some room for later.
Augustus. Welcome to the show. This is Interdimensional RSS. There are some ways you can get a hold of us. Some ways. Not always, but some ways. You can go over to X, where you can see Gavin Newsom just mocking the hell out of President Trump. You can do that. Rick and Morty Pod, we won't answer, but it's there. Facebook.com/ Rick and Morty Podcast, Instagram, Rick and Morty Podcast, email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. We're at Blue Sky, rickandmortypod.bsky.social. We are on the web elsewhere, website, rickandmortypod.com, which I did update the ads the other day, not the ads, the plugins and stuff like that. So, hey, it works for another day. Then we're on the subreddit, rickandmorty.reddit.com. Hopefully we've got some AMAs coming up. I don't know for sure yet, so I'm not going to announce anything, but hopefully we do.
Yeah, that's an exclusive just for you, listener.
Yeah.
Or viewer, that there may be a thing coming soon.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Travis mentioned it already. We are on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can find this podcast, our flagship podcast, Apathetic Enthusiasm, and the other show that I do with the wife and kid, Our Real Relationships. So anyways, go there, check it out. And then, hey, if you want to give us some money, go to Patreon, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. That's cool. Or, you know, maybe one of those things these days I'll remember to actually go to like tipme.com or whatever and set up an account there to make it easier.
Yeah.
Make it easier to give us your hard-earned cash so we can spend it on vacations.
We can do that for money. Yes, those are all the ways that you can get in touch with us. Stay up to date with the show. It is a bittersweet time in Rick and Morty fandom because the calendar pages are turning and we are now past what was another fantastic season of Rick and Morty. We're still basking in the last little remnants of the season that was season 8. And in this episode, we're going to talk all about it. We're going to talk about it season as a whole, as promised. We'll look back at some of our predictions, do lots of, you know, commentary and just BSing for 30 to 40 minutes. All the content that you have grown to trust from Interdimensional RSS. And one of the things you always expect to hear on this podcast, unless you skip ahead, is a segment we like to call Semi-Pertinent News.
Happy birthday, Semi-Perts. Happy birthday, Semi-Perts. Happy birthday, Semi-Pertinent News. Happy birthday to you.
We're allowed to use that now, right?
I think so.
I think it's like open, what is it? Fair use or
fair
it's like,
use.
It's like Steamboat Willie. It's like the cartoon character on your shirt.
Yeah.
It's
that's who this is. There's a Chippendale on the shirt too.
Yeah, you got weird black and white Disney characters because you're the big Disney fan.
And you like Rod Serling in the Twilight Zone. I
am a huge horror fan. Oh my gosh, all the horror movies I watch. Don't get me started.
Let me just tell you about this tournament I was in this week at the Lorcana.
Brandon, there's no time. There's no time. We'll have to get to it in the non-existent post show. All right. Semi pertinent news. Speaking of horror, thinking about spooky season, which is depending on the brands you follow, is already upon us. I think as soon as school starts, it's time for Halloween. Is that how it works?
As soon as 4th of July is over, then it's like, okay, well, Labor Day, that'll be here and then leave right away. Let's just start putting out the Halloween stuff.
Market that holiday as well. Let's start opening up defunct businesses as Spirit Halloweens as quickly as possible.
Yep. So what is this talk about horror? Why do you bring that up?
Well, Dan Harmon, who you may or may not know, is the co-creator of Rick and Morty. He is coming out with yet another animated show. I think he's really found his niche. He's just mass producing as many animated shows as he can, so long as at the beginning it says "From the minds of Rick and Morty," then it's a cash cow.
He's solid.
In a heist-like episode, he came up with a Netflix series, and this is a series that is premiering on September 19th called Haunted Hotel. The trailer is out there if you want to watch it. It is a premise is basically a hotel that is haunted, and all sorts of, you know, fun and zaniness happens there. Will Forte is in the show. He is one of the main characters. He is a ghost. He is like the character in the trailer. The best I can describe it is if Will Forte was a ghost. That is the character.
All right, yeah, that's great.
And if he was like an innkeeper at a hotel. But it also stars Eliza Coop. Mm-hmm. Skylar Gizondo.
Yep.
Maybe.
Uh-huh.
Natalie Palamides and Jimmy Simpson.
Yeah. 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 From Westworld. The only thing he's ever been in.
Westworld. Yeah. Yeah. Clint Westworld.
Yeah. Jimmy Simpson, Clint Westworld. He's one of the brothers in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. One of the creepy ones.
Never heard of that show.
Nope.
I don't know. It looks like it might be kind of funny. So if you're looking for something to watch next month to fill that hole in your Rick and Morty's sized heart, shaped heart.
Mm.
Is your heart shaped like Rick and Morty? If it is, you should probably see a cardiologist.
Yeah. Too many chambers, at least 8 different chambers.
Multiverses, portals, heart portals.
But, you know, Travis, you bring up a Rick and Morty shaped hole in your heart. Yeah, you get to September 19th and you watch Haunted Hotel. That's fine and dandy. But before you do that, head over to HBO Max September 1st and watch it all again. Season 8 of Rick and Morty and fill that hole before it disappears again.
Fill all your holes with season 8 of Rick and Morty, available on the once again rebranded HBO Max.
Yes, yes. What I've noticed about HBO Max lately is that they are showing ads. They're showing ads on Max now.
Do you pay for a discount service?
I don't know what I pay for. I was watching Smiling Friends last night, and there's ads in between the episodes of like actual ads.
Weird. I have not witnessed that, but I have not been watching HBO Max either. But September 1st, I'm sure I will. So
there you go.
Even though I own all of the episodes on digital.
So do I.
All right. Well, that is pretty much it for semi-permanent news. We're post-season, you know, spin-offs are happening.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about anything. Nah. Like, there's no real news or semi-permanent news going on in the Rick and Morty verse right now. You know, we're just waiting.
As close as we can get to pertinent, frankly. And I'm fine with it. But if you see a semi-pertinent news story that you think we should talk about on an upcoming episode, Who knows when that will be? Maybe spring of 2026. You can still send us a message and we'll potentially cover it. Or at least retweet it or share it to our Instagram stories or something.
That's right.
We'll do something. And probably do something.
And what I want to do is I want to shout out to all the people who skip all our semi-pertinent news. Congratulations. You have one of the quickest ones we've had in a long time.
Right.
And it makes me want to draw it out. I'll be honest. It makes me want to draw it out a little bit longer, but I'm not going to because we got to go to a break.
Let's draw it out a little bit. Have you watched Alien Earth yet?
I have not. No, I'm waiting. Okay. I was going to watch it last night, but then Dexter's like, I don't want to watch it right now. He wants to watch it, but he's like, you can watch it without me. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to watch it without you, bro.
Your mission, Brandon, because two episodes premiered last week, which means a third episode, at least a third, is going to come out this week. You got to watch those eps before next week when we record an Apathetic Enthusiasm talking about Alien Earth. New series on Fox, or not Fox, FX.
Oh, hey,
I was gonna grab my little lanyard, but it's up there.
I was if I could, I would grab the Rick with the face hugger on him.
Good one.
Then it would be themed appropriately.
All right, that's it for semi-pertinent news. When we come back, we are gonna be talking all about the season that was season 8 of Rick and Morty. So please stick around, and we will be right back.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. And we're back. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Intermental Arts. That's the unofficial podcast.
Yeah. Well, what do we want to talk about? What do we want to talk about today?
Yeah. All right. Well,
I came directly from work to this.
Sun's getting real low.
my enthusiasm has been like drained from all the people talk. Yes, that's right. All of my coworkers stealing my essence.
Yeah. They just steal your life force.
Precious
all day long.
Bodily fluids.
And then you're expected to come here on Zoom and perform for everyone.
Like a trained orangutan, like in Every Which Way But Loose.
Man, it's something I haven't seen since we started a segment called The Main Thing.
Oh, Main Thing. Hey, it's a main thing. Hey. It's Main Thing.
You're just going to collapse into a puddle at the end of this podcast.
I'm so tired. It is the main thing. And season 8 is over, which means that we have a bunch of predictions that we made at the beginning of the season. We have reviews of all the episodes that we watched. It gives us a chance to go back and be like, what do we think of those episodes? Do we change our minds about how we felt about them, or are we just cemented, or maybe even fortified in our beliefs?
You've been doing the spelling bee on New York Times games or something?
I'm trying to learn from ChatGPT as much as I possibly can.
Good for you. I finished AI for good.
I finished listening to iRobot, as a matter of fact, and
I did not murder him.
And it's basically, you know, when I think about it, maybe AI is just trying to keep humanity from destroying itself.
Interesting. Let's talk about cartoons. I think, you know, a few weeks have passed now since the season finale. I think it's good to let a little bit of time set in between and just look back at the season as a whole.
Right.
Obviously, if you want to hear our thoughts or opinions on any specific episode, You can go back and do that. You could either, do that. You know, yeah. Any podcast, you can go back on YouTube.
Try it.
Watch those things. But yeah, I like to think about the season.
I dare you to do
call
it.
Call to action. Go do it. Go listen to everyone now.
It's not a call
Pause
to action.
Pause this episode. Listen to all other podcasts. Then come back.
If I'm daring, that's not a call to action. That is a dare.
It's a dare to action.
Yeah.
I dare you to act.
DTA.
All right. Rick and Morty season 8, as a whole, now that you have time to think about it, what are your general thoughts on the season that was? Do you look upon it favorably? Do you rate it in the top 8 of seasons of Rick and Morty?
Yes, Travis, I do look at it favorably. I think that this was one of my top seasons in the last 8 seasons.
are actively turning off this podcast right now.
I think it was a good season. I do think that it is. There's a lot of improvement I felt throughout this season. I think there were some weights lifted from the previous seasons where we didn't have to focus on as much on Evil Morty. Rick Prime is gone. We didn't have to be like, okay, well, where are they? Ooh, what's going to happen with all of them? This season led us see the family, focus on the family again, they do in Colorado. I appreciated that. It let the stories breathe a little bit more and let us focus more on the development of the family that we know without the weight of which dimension are they in? Are they in this one? Oh, what's going on here? We didn't have those kind of questions. Which one is the clone? It doesn't matter. Let's tell some new stories.
Yeah, it was really, as I was trying to kind of encapsulate that thought into one bullet point in our show notes, really that idea of not having to deal with external canon from the Smith family, right? It wasn't about Evil Morty's plot to escape the central finite curve. The Rick Prime stuff is settled. And that's not to say that there wasn't canon within this season, but it was very much more internal to the family. It was about the Smith family. It was about Rick. It was about who they are as people, who they are as characters. And it didn't need some outside force to help drive this bigger narrative, which to me I feel like is sort of a return to form with the show from some of those earlier seasons that, yes, do have, I mean, they were laying the groundwork for things that did become huge canon arcs with, you know, Evil Morty, things like that. But yeah, I think this season was really more about emotional development, the emotional maturity and growth of some of these characters and allowing them to explore things about themselves. And I think that's evident in a number of episodes, whether it's the Benjamin Button episode where both of the Beths turn into kids and deal with childhood trauma. The episode where, what is it? No More's Land. That's the one where Jerry goes out, yeah, you know, on the road,
hangs out with Mooch.
Yeah. And I think that is an episode where there's probably some development for Jerry. And we see again, some progress for him as a character and being willing to take risks and take action when necessary. And obviously Hot Rick by the end of the season, huge emotional development.
Yeah.
In that episode.
I think we had talked about it in previous seasons, with set pieces and just epicness of the show, and the CFC, that was a thing, all the Rick Prime stuff, that was a thing, right? And we're like, how are they going to continue to scale this out to like top themselves, right? And the answer wasn't, oh, we need to top ourselves. It was, let's, how do we scale back? How do we scale back and focus more on the family, right? You're talking about external versus internal. You know, they could have easily introduced another big bad and be like, okay, this is what we're going to go after in season 9. End of season 8, setting up the big bad. Let's see what's going to happen in season 9, right? Rather than do that, they let these characters breathe a little bit more. And in a way, it's like in football, like in teams, like it's a rebuild year. I feel like season like 6 and 7 kind of seemed more of like a rebuilding that set the groundwork into season 8. Like season 8 was a solid season throughout. One or two that I wasn't a huge fan of, but still, by and large, a great season.
I'm really curious because I think historically on this podcast, we have been, we've had a tendency to lean more towards the episodes that are one-off adventures. We like some of the more, I don't know, one-off, well, what do you call it? The interdimensional cables, the anthology type things. Yeah. We like bottle episodes. We like adventures that reference pop culture and different movies and things like that. We weren't always looking for through lines and themes and trying to connect all the dots and things like that. So I am curious what fans of the show who are really hooked on that piece of it, that really sent in the questions about what's going on with Evil Morty, what is happening with Rick Prime, where's Diane, what happened with Diane, like all of those types of things. Did they appreciate this season as much as we did? Did they feel like something was missing? Were they able to appreciate that internal development, even though it didn't involve some big external threat? I wonder if we're unique in our standpoint or if other people feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Going through the season episode to episode, people just tended to really enjoy those episodes, right? I didn't see a whole lot of like, where's Nimbus should be here fighting him. I don't know. You know, just picking a character.
Chime in the comments. Let us know what you think.
I didn't see a whole lot of that. At the beginning of the season, the biggest complaint was, where's Jerry, right? Like, because he's not in the first couple of episodes predominantly.
You love Jerry.
Last Temptation of Jerry by episode 4 that, okay, now there he is. There he is. Focus a lot on Beth the second episode, Valkyric, Morty and Summer in Summer of All Fears, which opened it up. So everyone felt pretty good about it, seemed pretty good about it. I think the one that they don't like as much is Ricker Than Fiction. That Rob Schraub episodes, you know, not everyone loves them.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about Ricker Than Fiction when we get to our predictions revisited here in a little bit. But I don't know, like overall, I think we both enjoyed this season. When you look at 8 seasons now of Rick and Morty, do you put this in your top 4, top 2? Like where does it sit for you? In terms of, I don't know, ranking amongst other seasons.
Ranking amongst seasons. So I would put it in my top 4, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be inclined to do the same. I think there's still an element in those first couple seasons where it's just really like out there at times, which had to have some Roiland inspired, you know, aspects because he was kind of out there with a lot of what he did. But I think that the show over the last few seasons has really found I was going to say it's found its voice, but I don't want that to be about Harry and Ian because it's the voices are fine. I have no issue with the voice, but it's found like stories that it wants to tell. It's found a good balance of sci-fi and pop culture references and actual, you know, meaningful stories while also just being completely out there with, you know, the jokes and the humor and things like that. So I don't know. I like where the show is at right now. I'm excited for the next few seasons. And yeah, the fact that we have at least four more, I think on order, means we will continue to do this podcast for a little while.
So we had some predictions about episode plots. So let's get into some predictions revisited.
Yes, this takes us all the way back 3.5 whole months ago. I said 3.5 whole. Yeah, it's been a while. But we got episode titles prior to the season coming out, and then we got animatics of those from those episodes, and we started guessing. We started spitballing, and I just want to kind of I went back, watched that episode, and listen to our predictions. Some we did pretty good on. Some
way off.
Are not as good. So starting off with the pilot from the season Summer of All Fears. This was the Charger Matrix episode. You remember the episode.
Yeah.
There was a picture of a big engine in the animatic. And you thought that there might be like a giant truck in there or something, which there ended up being. We did connect those dots with the trailer. But then we were definitely thinking this was going to be like a Wacky Racers type episode and that like this was going to be the big point of the episode, which wasn't the case in this episode. But later on, there is a little bit of a wacky race kind of thing happening. So
yeah,
that still did end up happening in the season. But otherwise, we completely missed the point of this episode.
So we give this ranking of our prediction a middling 5. We were, you know, right there in the middle.
5 out of 10 Plumbuses. So next up, we have Valkyric. We didn't have a lot to say about this one. We knew it was going to be a Space Beth episode. It was pretty Space Beth centric, so we were on the nose there. It did deal with some assassinations. You made that prediction and you were spot on there. But other than that, we didn't really have much to say. We didn't know that a Gromflamite was going to not show up and that it was going to be confusing to follow.
Cisco.
We didn't know that about Cisco. Moving on, the Rick, the Mort, and the Ugly. We had seen the trailer, the season 8 trailer at this point. So there were times where we were picking out moments from the trailer and trying to fill in some of the gaps with some of these episodes. We nailed the, you know, Colonel Sanders, Rick, whatever that guy's name was.
Boss Hog. Rick.
We correctly guessed that he would be in this episode. And then I think you tied in something having to do with actually the good, the bad, and the ugly about some morally ambiguous character having to go in and clean up the town or things like that, which is really, you know, what we get in that episode with that Rick going. And so, yeah, you nailed it. I would give that prediction 8 out of 10 scrumples. I'm just going to start coming up with words.
All right. Cool. I feel pretty good about that one. Thanks, Travis. Last Temptation of Jerry.
What? Yeah, we kind of didn't really predict anything.
Do we skip it?
No. The problem is most of that preseason trailer was
that episode.
Clips from Last Temptation of Jerry. So we kind of had a feeling what that episode was going to be about anyway. A bunch of the Easter references. We saw the aliens. We did talk for a while about Jesus and us being a religious podcast. but aside from that, like we pretty much had a feel for what that episode was going to be.
Okay.
Because we saw clips of it in the trailer.
Yep. Yep.
Cryomort a Rickver. I think we talked about cryo freezing for a second, but we really focused in on those like exploding cubes in the animatic.
Oh yeah.
Which are not pertinent to the story at all.
At all.
And really just happen in the cold open.
Yeah. So yeah. We
only 3 out of 10 schmeckles.
I would I don't even know if I'd go with 3. The only one lower at this point in time is Last Temptation of Jerry.
And that is the Wacky Racers episode. It does get tied in.
Okay. All right. We'll bump it up to 3 just because of the Wacky Racers connection in that season. Of course, then we have Treehouse, also known as the Carixis Case of Benjamin Button.
Look at this guy using production shorthand like he works on the show.
That's the only one I remember because Phil said that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. He said another one and I forgot. So anyways, thanks, Phil. So we were pretty off on this one, eh?
Yeah, I had guessed maybe this was gonna be like a Tiny Rick like revisit with Tiny Rick or something. So I was way off. You mentioned in our predictions that people were associating it with like Froopy Land and that there's maybe some guesses of it having to do with like that era. And then which then got us talking about Beth's past and how it would be cool to have something that we were talking about, like POVs or a clips of Beth's past, which really is more like Hot Rick in the way that it's presented. We were talking about young Beth. So not completely off, but still definitely not thinking that they would literally turn Beth into a child and that she would go on a murderous rampage.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what we said on that, but I mean, just the Curious Case of Benjamin Button is all about an adult turning into a baby but still retaining all the same memories. So
and yet somehow we still managed to be off.
Yes,
we still
We did way off. So then Rickard and Fiction, the Schraub episode,
we thought this was interdimensional cable. We thought this is gonna be a clip show. It's back, it's gonna be interdimensional. The funny part about it is we called this animatic where it was showing the movie from this episode as interdimensional cable. And within the construct of Rick and Morty, it's not even an interdimensional thing. It's from the Earth that they're on.
Yeah.
James Gunn works on that movie.
Way off. We're way off on that. I have a prediction because you know my predictions
for next
season. My predictions are always great. If we do get another interdimensional cable episode, it's not going to be called anything having to do with interdimensional cable. Just to throw it off.
I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's. It gets really interesting with our prediction because we're like, all right, they've done Story Train. They've done these other things. Maybe they'll go in a different direction and it'll be like about books or something. Like we're like, maybe it'll just be about books. And then we said, what if Rick like invents something that lets you like experience books and like, turn the book into a movie? Or like people always say the movie's better than the book. And then they like turn the book into a movie. But like we totally guessed that Rick would invent a machine where they go in and experience a story. We just guessed books instead of movies.
Yay.
But we're like,
that was pretty close.
I would give that like 8.5 Meeseeks boxes out of 10. I mean,
you know, if you keep talking, eventually you'll be the broken clock and you're right. Exactly. At least once a day, you know,
on 1 out of 8, 10 episodes. We'll see. Yeah.
Then No Mortland, we go over to that one. Rick and Jerry buddy episode. Nope.
Yeah, the only thing we saw was Rick in like the Hawaiian shirt at that island. And so we assumed that Rick and Jerry were hanging out on vacation somewhere. How could we have known? How could we have known?
But you know, to be fair, giving us an extra point, it was a buddy episode Jerry.
Just Jerry buddies.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it was a buddy episode, like an actual buddy episode, like a road trip buddy type of episode. It just wasn't with Rick as much. And so give yourself an extra point. I would give us a 4 of something.
Yeah. 4 little bits out of 10. Yeah. All right. Next up, Morty Daddy. This was the Morty Jr. episode. We did call the Morty Jr. inclusion. You couldn't remember if you saw that somewhere or if you had a fever dream about it. I like the version of history that it was a fever dream and that you somehow had a medicated induced vision of Morty Jr. coming back and exploiting Morty once again.
And I still don't remember. I think maybe
you had a precog thing where you looked ahead and saw this. It's especially interesting because the only thing in the animatic is them eating in the restaurant.
Mm.
And I had forgotten about this, but you gave me so much crap about my opinions on avocado toast in that episode. to the point where you threatened to shove avocado toast down my throat at San Diego Comic-Con. And I will say, ladies and gentlemen, to the best of my knowledge, that did not happen.
it didn't. But avocado toast, it's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I give our prediction 3 avocado toasts out of 10.
All right, 1 episode left. Hot Rick. The Wacky Racers is a through line for the season.
Yeah, we did. I was like, maybe that's going to be like a thing throughout the whole season. It wasn't, but I kind of wish it was.
Yeah. Then Rick troubleshooting Jerry. What was that one about?
I don't know. I think we saw in the animatic that he was working on Jerry or I don't even remember the scene.
Oh yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It was, because they were going into Rick Jerry to, for memory Rick.
Yes, that's right. It's from the very beginning when they're pulling memory Rick out of Jerry at the beginning. So that's what we saw. So we didn't know if this was something having to do with we really didn't have much on this one.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Bad memory. We didn't even know it had anything to do with Beth, right?
No, like we didn't even fully know what the title was referencing. And if it was Hot Rod.
And we still don't know to this day.
We still don't. So we were pretty accurate on that, actually.
So that's why we give this 1 out of
1 Wacky Racer out of 10. That's right.
That's right.
And so one last thing in our predictions of the episodes themselves. I asked you to predict which episode you thought was going to be your favorite. Your guess was Ricker Than Fiction. Was Ricker Than Fiction your favorite episode from the season?
It was not.
All right. Is it in your top 2?
No.
Okay. My prediction, completely shot in the dark, was Morty Daddy. And wouldn't you know it, also not my favorite episode.
All right. Yeah. That's unfortunate that we got our own tastes wrong.
Yeah, it is. All right. All right. One last bit of predictions before we get into ranking our highs and lows of this episode. We also took some time in another preseason episode. Once we got the entire title sequence where we went through clip by clip, explained what was happening in the title sequence, and then tried to predict show or no, would these clips be part of an upcoming episode or would they not? There were 5 clips in the title sequence that we were referencing. One of them was 2 like Rick and Morty hands with like other Smith families' fingers. They were like wrestling each other. Another one was Child Rick fighting, you know, Morty in a spaceship. One was the goat Smith family chewing on a tin can with Jerry's in the background. One was the Tetris Smith family. And then the last one, Rick and he controls the police.
Oh, Nimbus.
Nimbus, Mr. Nimbus, in a warm embrace at the bottom of the sea. So you predicted...
That's the one I got wrong, wasn't it?
Four of the five correctly. I, to be contrarian, disagreed with you on the goat family, which was clearly a scene from No More's Land.
No More Land, yeah.
Yeah. So I only got three out of the five correct. The one we both got wrong due to its extremely high production value is Rick and Mr. Nimbus, you know, kissing on the cheek and then grabbing on the cheek. Yeah. Kudos to the animation team that put that together.
Yeah.
I really thought we were going to see that. Up until the finale, I thought that was going to be in the finale. Even when we saw like the sneak clip at the Rick and Morty panel the day before we saw the finale, I was like, yep, Nimbus is going to be in it. I got a feeling. And yeah. I was dead wrong.
As soon as we saw Bug Ann, that little clip, I was like, oh, okay, maybe that... Because I didn't know Bug Ann was a bug necessarily at that point in time. Yeah. So it looked kind of underwater. So I was like, oh, maybe this is going to be a Nimbus scene.
I had the exact same thought. Yeah.
And we were wrong. So good job, animation team. We know you did this for us specifically. So thank you for throwing us off.
Yeah. Let us know how you did on your predictions. Send us a tweet on X.
Let's do it.
And we'll never see it.
All right. You want to talk about our top two and bottom two?
Yeah. They can't all be winners.
They can't.
They can't. And that's okay. And honestly, different tastes for different folks. But in a season that I thought was overall fantastic, I really did enjoy the season. There's some outliers for me. And so I'm going to name four episodes. Two are my top two. Two are my bottom two. And I will leave that up to the viewers to figure out which is which. First episode being No More's Land. The Jerry's out on the road. And anyone that enjoys a good shower beer knows where that falls in my ranking.
Okay, so that's one for the top. All right, yeah. Three more to go.
Also, looking back at my predictions, Morty Daddy, another episode that I think needs to be highlighted here. Valkyric, another one, and then the Curicus case of Benjamin Button, rounding out my four episodes that are conveniently either my top two or my bottom two.
All right. So No More Land and Benjamin Button are your top two. Morty Daddy and Valkyric are your bottom two.
Who could say? It's such like it's so I don't know. It's such a mystery.
It's such a mystery. I don't know. I can see for Valkyric why that would be at towards the bottom. It's a good episode. It's an interesting episode. But as we got later into the season, I found myself forgetting about what that episode was about.
Yeah. I legitimately had to go back and watch clips and be like, oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. On my drive home, I asked ChatGPT to summarize season 8 for me by episode and titles. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. That's what happened in that one.
It had access to information that recent?
Yeah. ChatGPT 5.0 it goes out and Googles everything. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, it was kind
of... What about you, Brandon?
Kind of forgettable.
What are your F4 episodes?
So, in no particular order, even though I'm going to put them in the order, Hot Rick. It's one of my top ones. Rick the Mort and the Ugly is another one.
Right. Oh, top two. Got it.
Cryo Mort a Rickver and Ricker than Fiction.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Actually, I'm the Rick the Mort and the Ugly. I might switch that out for Benjamin Button. Actually, I will. I just put it on there. Two Beth wow. episodes. Yeah.
Okay. So one of my top two is one of your bottom two.
Which one is your bot? Which? Oh, no. Benjamin
we'll
Button.
Never know.
We'll never know.
Even though the only ones that we both said were Benjamin Button.
That's in your bottom? You didn't like that one?
No, that's in my top two.
No, that's in my top two.
Okay. Oh, instead of Rick Morton.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I just
got it.
Yeah,
it was
so
confusing the way that you said it.
Beth Jemin Button. Button is not bottom. I didn't say Beth Jemin bottom. I said Beth Jemin Button.
Right. That's right.
So what was it about your top two that you're still not expressing openly to everybody that really put them to the top?
There are so many episodes in the season that really dove into developing some characters, adding more context and sort of fleshing out characters, especially characters that don't always get as much attention. And I think the Benjamin Button episode was great about not only sharing more about Beth's past and the complicated person that she is, but also in the end providing some healing and some growth between Rick and Beth's relationship. Arguably, Hot Rick takes that same premise and goes 10 times further with it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I think Hot Rick is probably the best episode of the season. But I thought it was too easy of an answer, so I didn't pick it. But yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really good. And I love Jerry. I love seeing Jerry kind of go against how he's typecast, right? As like the bumbling idiot that's incapable and scared and stupid. And I think this episode shows Jerry having a good time and Jerry's that are capable and are willing to go explore the multiverse without Rick. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. I had fun rewatching it. And so that's why.
Yeah. I'm going to switch one of mine to my bottom. It's going to be No More Land. Mostly because of the shower beer. It's just, come on. I mean, why? Don't drink beer in the shower. You can fall down and die, man. You might get
one beer.
I don't know what your tolerance is. You might. Maybe it's like one of those like triple IPAs that it's like,
after a couple of room brews, you never know, man. I should have had you do a shower beer at Comic-Con.
Yeah,
forced one down your throat with your avocado toast.
Travis, get out of here. I'm showering. Drink this, mother.
Drink it. It's 9 a.m. We have a panel to get to. Drink this beer.
I keep locking the door for a reason. Hot Rick and Benjamin Button for me. You know, their companion episodes, I wonder how close in the production order or production design they were, because, you know, thematically, they kind of touch upon some of the same things, right, about youth and about growing up. The fact that we are introduced to young Beth in Benjamin Button, they show up again in Hot Rick in that like Avengers moment where it's like, oh, here's all of the Beths throughout her memories. Yeah. Like super cool. That space Beth is, you know, whereas Benjamin Button, they're together and they're like, they're tag teaming Gene, like slicing his Achilles and stuff like that. Then to the point where now Space Beth is trying to get Beth mom, Earth Beth to, like relax and not, you know, be programmed to kill like a Manchurian candidate. Yeah. Like all having to do with, a trauma around a father. Right. So Benjamin Button, it's about Rick, like feeling abandoned by him. And then the closure is at the, like Space Beth had gotten to that closure somewhat. There was still in Earth Beth that lingering because of memory, Rick, but you know, it could be a metaphor of like a lingering bit of trauma that she hasn't gotten over and is confusing her. It's still making her upset. And she having a problem with, you know, like my dad left me, but then our Rick saying, I'm here for you. I wasn't there for you now then, yeah, but I'm here for you now. It's a nice close to that loop of resolution.
Yeah. No, I think it's really good. It really does tie it together. And bonus points, because Benjamin Button also has Earthworld in it,
mm-hmm,
which is some great other moments that we're not even talking about.
And they did that. So, and they did that script read at the Adult Swim.
Yeah, that still a highlight for me. I wish we could go back and revisit it. Memories I will hold dear for at least 6 to 7 weeks. All right. Well,
I know you don't want to talk about the negatives, Travis, but sure. Why are your bottom two in your bottom two?
I mean, on it, like we talked about Valkyric, as just being kind of forgettable. I think I talked about in the review of the episode that I found parts of the episode hard to follow. The first time through, the whole dialogue with Sisko and how everything's going to happen being played against what actually happened. For me, it took a couple rewatches to really grasp everything that was happening there. And I just,
sorry, I'm just remembering that's why I had to take that out of my bottom. Because I mean, I couldn't keep, I just, that narrative, the voiceover of Rick and Beth talking about Sisko, that's enough to elevate it past so many episodes of Rick and Morty for me.
Yeah. I don't know. And plus I had to pick two. Like, honestly, I really liked the season. So I just thought my process for this was super scientific. I looked at a list of episodes and I said, which two don't stand out to me the most? And those are the two I picked.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So Cryomort, Rick, what dragged that one down for me was the mad world portion at the end. It took a turn, and that song, that Penny song, I'm not a huge fan of. And so, yeah, I was just like, this episode's not that great to me. But I did like, what I did like was like Pete going through it, analyzing it, and being like, oh, this is basically Fight Club. It's Fight Club what's happening throughout this. But then it goes into, it's a mad world, wacky racers type stuff. And I was like, okay, yeah, all
right. Yeah, yeah. Curious why Ricker Than Fiction is in your bottom two.
That was my guess for my favorite episode of the season, and it is in the bottom two.
It's just because you hate James Gunn's Spider-Man or Superman so much that you're just like, wallet's closed for the Gunniverse.
Wallet's closed. All of that tree stuff, I was not. In a season that had such like emotional moments, and even like kind of like throwaway episodes. I say throwaway loosely, like there weren't any throwaway episodes, but it was like, I it just, it didn't, it, my expectations were high. It didn't meet the expectations. I acknowledge that. But then also, it felt like we already had some of the Numericon, like Transformers the movie type vibes already. And so I didn't need to see more of that from the trees.
So you hear here on the podcast, Brandon is on record. He hates Schraub in all episodes that he works on. That's
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you said it, not me. You said it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, overall, we talked about how we felt about this season. Yeah. It's probably a year away. I think it's safe to probably assume that the release schedule is probably in a good rhythm and we're going to get one Rick and Morty season every year. I think it's too optimistic to think that we're going to see season 9 before 2026. I don't know.
Before 2026? Yeah. It ain't happening.
So
too optimistic.
Considering what we've seen over this season and maybe even back as far as season 7, do you have any predictions, any thoughts on what may be coming in the future for season 9 of Rick and Morty?
Well, that's a good question, Travis. I think I feel really good about season 9. Yeah. Because we've been hearing from writers and animators that season 8, season 9 already written. It's season 9 is even better than season 8. And if that's the case, then season 9 is going to be fantastic. What I love about season 8 is it left us in a place that wasn't, it left a few minor strings open, right? Sure. Like the Bug Ann stuff with Rick. The post credit with Poopy Butthole and what that's I'd be cool with that just being a gag in general. But I like that it's open ended to like, I don't know what's going to happen next. And that is a great kind of feeling that it's not, there's no cliffhanger. It just, all the major storylines are resolved.
It's weird because like we talk about it not really being like a canon type season, but that like Hot Rick really puts a bow on the whole Diane thing. Like Diane has been really a core driving factor of Rick's motivations, like everything since season 3's premiere. Mm-hmm. When you go back and you look at that surprise April Fool's premiere.
We're still in the Shonies.
Like we see the image of Rick's family being blown up and all the creation of interdimensional travel and stuff like that. But like that has always been an underlying driving force behind everything that Rick does. And now that is not necessarily a motivator for him. He has taken the one memory of Diane that he has locked in the recesses of his brain and fired it out into the universe to go live an infinite, joyful young life with Memory Rick. So yeah, I think there's gonna be, I would assume, I will predict that the writers are gonna take that idea of Rick that has become open to new experiences and maybe run with it, see if there's I'm getting choked up. Like dating Rick, not just sleeping around Rick, but dating Rick. Are we gonna see what that looks like? I don't know. I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah. So here's my prediction for season 9. Every episode is a new date for Rick, and he's really looking for love. It's in some ways it's like Pleasure Island Rick edition. He's looking for love, you know.
Season 9 is just Rick and Morty the Bachelor, and they play the whole season as just a season of The Bachelor, but Rick is The Bachelor.
Yeah.
The Golden Bachelor.
I would binge it.
I probably would not. I mean, I would still watch it because yeah. I got podcasts to make.
No, those shows I don't binge, right? I wait for the season to end and I watch the last episode. I was like, none of you all matter. None of you matter.
Just, who did they pick? Just who did they pick?
Just tell me the final rose. Is that what they do in The Bachelor? I don't know.
I think it is. Okay. I think Sheena still watches that show. She hasn't talked about it in a long time, so I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know what's going on with that show. I don't know if they're still making it.
You conditioned her to stop talking to you about it.
Yeah, I just start looking off into the distance.
Are you talking to Brandon again? Every time I talk about The Bachelor, you bring up Brandon.
Anywho.
Anyway.
All right. Yeah. Any listener suggestions or short outs that we missed that we haven't really.
You know, there are a handful out there. Reddit, Instagram, email, all those places. And we do want to shout you out. We just want to say thank you to everybody who listens, right? Every time we say thank you for listening, sharing this fandom with us, it seems like it's kind of maybe a little contrived, but it's the truth, right? Like I had breakfast with a friend that I worked with 6 years ago yesterday. And he had his 15-year-old kid. He's like, hey, Brandon, he has a Rick and Morty podcast. He didn't say unofficial. He was like the not transcribe. I don't know what it was, but anyways, he's like, oh, that's pretty. And this kid was like, oh, that's really cool. And I was just like, then I started talking to him about the show and like, it's really cool to be able to share that experience with other people. And you and I, we share it with each other as we're talking to each other. So it's just really so, so cool and a pleasure and a privilege to talk about the show and be where we are with it, with you, Unity.
It is funny. I came in here to record the podcast and my oldest, who is a senior now, she's like, I don't think you realize how many of my friends follow your podcast. Like, I was like, oh, what? Uh-oh. So special shout out to all of Ali's friends that are listening.
Yeah.
Sorry and a very special
about all of you.
Yeah. Even if you're talking shit, like that's fine. I'm still shorting you out. Just don't talk shit about her.
Yeah.
Or I'll find you.
Yeah, I will send somebody who is underage to fight you because I don't want a felony on my record.
No, not another one. Anyway, and also a special shout out to my youngest child who explicitly asked for me to shout her out on the podcast. So go to bed, Sienna. It's time for school tomorrow or something. I don't know. Yeah. All right, this is our show. This is Interdimensional RSS. And this is probably it for a while. I mean, as we get more news, definitely as spinoffs start becoming more of a thing and we hear more and more about, you know, President Curtis type shows and things like that, we'll definitely be popping back in. But in the meantime, if this is the only podcast you listen to of ours and you just you're going to miss us so much. Mm. Oh, my gosh. There's good news. There's other podcasts that you can listen to. Where you can get us talking about everything that isn't Rick and Morty. Check out Apathetic Enthusiasm. It's on the same YouTube channel. It's really hard to miss. Or you can go subscribe on, you know, iTunes, whatever, Spotify, whatever podcatcher you use. Go subscribe there. And yeah, what else? What else you got, Brandon? Final word.
Final word. Yeah, we'll talk to you as soon as we have some new content for you. We know you'll be just as excited as we are. And so we can't wait till that moment. I mean, optimistically next year.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see you before then.
We can't be too optimistic.
We'll have something to talk about.
Can't be too optimistic. I don't think I've ever heard
of it. We may have to cover Haunted Hotel coming on Netflix.
Yeah. Right after we talk about, what is that, the Greek one that he made?
Acropolis.
Crapopolis. Crapopolis.
Still have buttons from Comic-Con 2 years ago.
If anybody wants some Crapopolis buttons, we've got extra.
Yeah, let me know. Yeah.
All right.
Shout out in the comments. All right. That's it. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. Thank you.
Bye.